Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC, and Christmas has just come early. Hot off the presses, Trump wins 304 out of the needed 270 electoral votes. As you've been following this, of course, today, there's a curious thing that no one really is talking about, and this is probably the best part about the whole story, because no one, I think no one reasonable is really surprised that Trump racked up. This is just a formality, and we've talked about this over and over again. You know, all the people that have said that there are going to be issues and that there's people that will defect and that there's going to be this uprising, and as much as 20 or 30 electors, there's that one professor at Harvard. It just goes to show you, never trust a Harvard professor. Okay, none of that happened, but the best part about this whole thing, at least in my opinion, the defections all went against Hillary for the most part, which is by the, and again, by the way, unexpected, but unexpected only if you don't listen to this program, and I will explain why. So let me break it down for you. Washington State, they had four faithless electors, which is the term of the day to describe people who are electors who refuse to vote based on how their popular vote went in their respective states. So you have four faithless electors in Washington State. Let's see, three voted for Colin Powell. By the way, Washington State is a blue state. I mean, it went for Hillary. So these are three people that should have voted for Hillary and instead voted for Colin Powell. And then there was some guy who voted. By the way, his name. Let's see here. Who was it? Well, anyway, this one elector voted for someone named Faith Spotted Eagle, a Native American activist who was one of the key protesters in the Dakota pipeline mess. So you got that. Then we just had another. This is fresh off the news, right, Robbie? One of the electors in Hawaii jumped ship, didn't vote for Hillary, but voted for Bernie. And three additional electors tried to defect. They couldn't. You had some Muhammad Abdurrahman from Minnesota try to vote for Bernie, then got replaced, because a lot of these states had rules that kept electors in line. David Bright, Maine, he tried to vote for Bernie. He was ruled out of order, so he just said, you know, I'll vote for Hillary. Yeah, picture how that goes. I'm voting for Bernie. You're out of order. Okay, I'll vote for Hillary. Anyway, so then you got some guy in Colorado. This is great. This Democrat, his name's Michael Baca in Colorado. Did you hear about this clown? He was trying to get, he's the guy who was trying to get all of his Republican colleagues to vote for Kasich instead of Trump. Well, now, Colorado, of course, went to Hillary, but he was trying to make a point. And this was what I always was saying. You know, you're never going to get the Democrats to convince their Republican colleagues to go any particular way. So there's a few people that were supposed to vote for Trump. They did, but he actually voted for Kasich instead of Hillary Clinton, and he was trying to do it. He was like, "Hey, look, join me. I'm meet me halfway." So this is just yet another opinion that Kasich is basically a Republican halfway to Hillary Clinton. Anyway, a couple electors jumped ship in Texas. We knew about one. We followed the story of Chris Oprin, and he did follow through with his promise to vote for Kasich, and then one elector voted for Ron Paul. There it is. Now, I will tell you why we basically had what? We had two defections from Trump. And it looks like at least five to six defections from Hillary. There's a reason, and it all Politico, by the way, one of my favorite sources for desperate self-loathing news on the left. Politico had this great piece about a voter in all places of Colorado. Yeah, so this gal here is described in this piece as a lifelong progressive, and she was so disgusted by everything that happened in the election, by everything that had happened. Well, she was disappointed by Obama, very disappointed in the Clintons, disappointed, did not like Hillary, and ends up voting for Trump. Now I'll describe to you, the thing is, you've got to read through a significant portion of this article to finally get to the photo. And it becomes clear. So this gal here appears to be a nice older looking black woman. She's got dreadlocks. She looks pretty progressive. I mean, if you can decipher any of that, but she's married to this guy who makes communist movies. She doesn't like Trump, but she basically, this piece keeps talking and coming back to a couple of key things. And it's interesting. What it shows is that there are people that were either part of the Clinton vote or not part, as in this case here. People who either voted for Clinton or people who maybe didn't as a protest vote. But either way, they were so upset with what happened in the primaries that there's more anger. By the way, there is so much anger on the left that is directed at the Democratic Party, at the hacks that put this whole thing together, that handed the election to Hillary when she didn't have the popular votes. If there's one candidate in this entire 2016 presidential race that lacked a mandate, it's not Trump, it's Hillary. And the DNC was so tone deaf in this whole thing. They just couldn't deal with it. And their solution was, and this is a typical Democrat ideology, and it's a standard move when it comes to the left. We know better than you. It comes to when it's absolutely true. When it comes to regulation, they want to tell you how to live. They want to tell you what food to eat, what TVs to buy. They want to tell you about all the Nerf bumpers, you know, that your car needs to have. You can't have a V8. No, no, no. They're going to tell you exactly how you need to educate your kids. And here, when it came to this election, they told the public, no, you can't have Bernie Sanders. You may want him, but we know better. Bernie can't win. We need Hillary. She's the answer. She's the only candidate who in the general election has any chance. She's the one who's got all the experience. Exactly this. And in so doing, disregarded the enormous amount of popular backing that Bernie had. I still talk to Democrats now, and they are still furious. And it's funny to me because this whole Politico piece goes through, and I'm going to, 9 pages of more or less total drivel, tracing this woman and about her. And you know what the title of it is? It's like a title with a quote around it. It was my primal scream. What? They're trying to analyze this woman's, you know, primal instincts about why she, as a lifelong Democrat, ended up voting for Trump. The Trump that, if you're just tuning in, received over 300 votes in the Electoral College, becoming now officially the president-elect. So choke on that, millennials. Anyway, the point of this all is that they're so stuck in analyzing why did this, and they actually say this, by the way, they use this term in the article. It's not my term, but they say, why did this liberal go off the reservation? Why? And they missed the underlying issue is that her grievances are true even for people who stayed on the reservation, are true for people who, yes, they voted for Hillary, but they did it holding their noses. And that you can't win an election with people holding their noses. It's not enough. You can have the best. Remember hearing the get out the vote? Well, I'll tell you the number one get-out-the-vote method that I know, at least, to be tried and tested in politics. It's called voter enthusiasm. And you either have it as a candidate or you don't. I mean, I know that Bush, you know, Bush didn't have great enthusiasm, but he ran against Gore, who was basically, it's a log. Absolutely, I have a shrub that has more personality than Gore does. And Kerry, you know, I mean, geez. And you can go through the list, but Obama had it. He had that. He had voter enthusiasm. And Bernie had it. And I keep coming back to this. If you think it's all about the Russian hacking, if you think it's, and I will, it's, I accept if that's, if you think it happened, fine. But it's not why Trump won the election. It's not why Hillary lost it. Because even before the Podesta emails came out, people knew that they had been had. People are not as stupid as you think. I mean, they saw the states where Hillary got, you know, significantly lower number of votes, and then the state ended up just miraculously tilting to who else but her. And it was because they had all these superdelegates. They stacked the system. They stacked the system so that the party could select. And here now, in the richest of rich ironies, we have Hillary and her loser entourage whining on any show, on any programming, on TV, radio, whatnot, to anyone that gives a rat's rear end about how Trump is not legitimate, how he didn't get the popular vote, how he doesn't have a mandate. And it's rich in irony because this whole problem of who didn't have a mandate goes right back to the Democratic primary, which is exactly why you have these electors, right? These guys, and remember, these electors are people who are politically, you know, they're in the game. Remember Bill Clinton, actually, you saw this today on TV. He cast a vote for Hillary in New York because he's an elector in New York. These positions typically go to people that are, you know, politically active and have proven themselves to the party establishment in each respective state. And these people, so they're grassroots activists, former politicians, that type of thing. And these people as a group, more of them defected away from Hillary than away from Trump on the Republican side. You've got to think about why. And this is the reason. And don't let anybody tell you, look, it's a false argument to say, well, you know, if the Russians hacked Podesta's emails, that's how we knew, you know, if it wasn't for Donna Brazil, crazy Donna Brazil and her hacked email. Okay, first of all, people knew. I'm telling you, people knew. They knew they'd been had. They knew they'd been taken advantage of. They knew that the whole thing was rigged because it unfolded in front of everybody's eyes. Primary voters are more engaged typically than general election voters. These are people who are very enthused for their respective candidates, go out there ready to vote for them. You know what I'm talking about. You got to have some, you know, desire for the process. By contrast, right, if you're less engaged but more care about the party, you sometimes don't vote in the primary. You just go, hey, well, when it comes time to the real deal in November, I'm going to vote for the big D or the big R. And you know people like that. So they're engaged voters in the primary, and these engaged voters got crapped on. Literally, Faith Spotted Eagle took a giant you-know-what of a dump on everyone that voted for Bernie. And I don't have the difference here, but it was a staggering difference in number of votes. And so Hillary, the DNC selected Hillary and ignored what the party base wanted. And meanwhile, on the Republican side. I mean, you would think that the party establishment was literally about to commit harakiri over the fact that Trump, you know, how can he be our candidate? But they didn't steal it from him. Think about that. So when Hillary argues about the Podesta emails getting hacked and the Russians and everything, and oh, the RNC didn't get hacked. Yeah, everybody knew the RNC didn't like Trump. Everybody knew that. But they didn't steal the election from him. So I don't know what they could have found in emails if they'd hacked the RNC. I mean, I'm sure there's some funny stuff and bad things being said about Trump. But nobody in that process felt robbed. Nobody in that process felt cheated. And that's the critical difference. All right. I do want to get to today the new cell phone law in California. I want to give you my lawyer's perspective on it, because everything I hear on my ABC, CBS, everywhere they're talking about this new cell phone law, it's totally misrepresented on what it's going to do and how it's going to work. And I want to make sure that you've got the right facts. So stay tuned. I'm going to get into that and more back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The holidays are here. The roads are busy and drivers are crazy. If involved in an accident, go to sweetjames.com.
Operators are standing by.
At 800-222-5222.
Go ahead. Say it.
790-KAC.
And we're back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Big news today in the world. Unfortunately, not great news. First, we had a word of the Russian ambassador to Turkey as he's giving a presentation to, it looks like, some people gathered at an art exhibit showcasing artwork that is representative of perspectives of Russians living in Turkey. He's gunned down by a young person, a man who turns out to be a police officer and who has strong feelings about the Islamic State and about what Russia was doing is doing in Syria. So the guy ends up shooting him in the back, probably about 8 or 9 rounds, and then gives this long speech. And what you don't see in the video is then the police storm the building and take the guy out. So just as we're recovering from that bit of news it's terrible to see somebody lose a life like that, because it happened on live TV. So there are plenty of videos of this incident as it unfolded. As this is happening, we get word that a Christmas market in Berlin had a number of people injured and some dead after a truck hit that market. Now here's something to understand about these markets in Europe, and I've spent a lot of time there. These are probably these Christmas markets are probably some of the most beautiful. It's the most beautiful part culturally of the Christmas holiday in Europe, in these cities. Every city, it's not like the suburbs here, okay? You got to throw out everything you know about LA and Orange County and you just kind of throw it out the window. In Europe, in big cities, you have multiple squares, but in small cities, you have a square, a central, you know, square where people go, they congregate, and in the Christmas season, there are these little shops, little kiosks that are set up, and they sell things like candles and Christmas tree ornaments. It's really festive. They sell cookies. I'm telling you, if you ever have a chance to visit one of these places as a tourist, you have to do it. Go to Europe. Go into any city, and you'll find a Christmas market. It is as the in this particular market here, I'm guaranteeing you, is as German as apple pie. Well, that's not true, but you get the point. Now, to attack it is in and of itself a deliberate message. You have to understand that. You know, we get lost in looking at news stories through American eyes. And it's very easy to say, oh, it's a Christmas market and whatever. But it is a cultural celebration. It is a place where the town comes together. It is a place where German culture is celebrated. And I want to emphasize that because I'm not it's not a religious thing. I mean, yeah, okay, it's Christmas. I get it. And we all want to keep the Christ in Christmas. But it's really German culture that's on display. German cuisine, songs, ornaments, trees, Christmas. They're not like they are. They, the Europeans, at least for now, aren't as crazy about removing Christmas from the public eye as we are here. So Christmas is part of their culture, and these Christmas fairs and these Christmas markets are part of their culture, and it's really critical. And I am telling you that this attack deliberately targeted this event for what it was. And it is a cultural war. You know, you can write it as simplify it and say it's religious, but the fundamental thing here, and I'll go into some of these details when we come back from the break, but you've got to understand that the culture here is one that and it looks like we've got a refugee from Afghanistan. And it looks, Pakistan, excuse me, and who came and he hijacked a lorry. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But he hijacked the lorry, took it, and deliberately went to mow down these people. And he'd just come to the country earlier this year. June or July is what they're reporting. And so it's important to note that when it comes to these attacks, it's always an interesting thing to look at where they happen. Remember France, they attacked a music venue with Western music, metal music. They are in Nice, the other truck, attack. They attacked a street festival on the beach with Western. The attacks are deliberate at Western culture. It is a culture war. And it's because the adherents of this crazy religion that take it to an extreme do not want any compromise with Western culture. And it is dangerous as hell. All right, back after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Then again, just like Fidel's Cuba, much of what liberals promise fails, ultimately, because it's all just one giant pipe dream, not based on any reality, in fact.
Talk radio 790.
KABC.
All right, back at it. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Happy Monday. And, first of all, as this terrible tragedy is unfolding in Berlin, where's Obama? Interesting, huh? Yeah, so he is in Hawaii, left on Friday. Must be nice, by the way. Has a nice, how long is he? 2 weeks? 2 weeks in Hawaii? Gosh, I'm going to be working through the holiday, by the way. I'm here. I'm working. I've got you guys, and I'm so glad. I'm so happy I get to do shows these next 2 weeks. And certainly I've got my day job, so I'm around. But Obama, he's in Hawaii, and he doesn't even issue a statement because he's midway through a golf game. And he's still, the game ended, 3 p.m. Hawaii time, so that's minus 3 hours, so about noon today. And he still doesn't give a statement. And about 5 o'clock, no, strike that, about 4 o'clock our time, the White House finally issued a statement. And well, the good news is they really pulled out the big guns. His name is Ned Price. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a real big mover and shaker in the White House. I think he's the National Security Council spokesman. That's the best they could do? Let me, the story, the reason I bring all this up is, of course, people have made fun of Obama golfing, and he has golfed more than any other president, and Obama being aloof and not wanting to make, okay, all that good stuff. But I get this impression right now that Obama's just checked out. Don't you? That he just, you know, he gives these press conferences and every word is like, and he, and the whole, now we got the whole hacking thing, right? And then so he's, you know, you know, Mr. Putin, you know, I really have some words for you. And it just, it sounds like he's done. He's here to enjoy Air Force One and all the trappings of office. And I guess maybe you do the same thing too, you know, if you're, but it's got to be a weird thing. Because think about getting, maybe it's like retirement. Because most of the time, if you get let go from a job, you're done. You know, you turn in your keys and cell phone and you're done. You're out of there. Go home. But maybe if you're retiring, most people want to tidy up. But the guy coming in, you loathe, right? Don't buy any of this nonsense. You know, Obama does not happy about the Trumpster coming into the White House. So what is, you know, he's just got to just be like, blanket, you know, I'm not going to give this any effort. And so with this sort of zero effort, they've got Ned Price, spokesperson for the National Security Council, coming up and condemning the attack. But you know, Trump, of course, comes out. He's at Mar-a-Lago right now vacationing as well. But and side note here. Won't it be nice? I mean, think about the cash that you and I are going to save by having Trump vacation in Mar-a-Lago and not in Hawaii. You know what it costs to operate Air Force One to fly from Washington, D.C., from one end of the United States all the way across the entire continent and over the ocean halfway to Japan? Versus flying, you know, what is that, 2 hours? This is a huge difference. I think Air Force One, something like $171,000 an hour to run it, to operate it. Yeah, it's a giant hole in the ozone. So if you're, you know, one of those tree-hugging people, you know, this is just a win-win. But anyway, so this is just, I think Obama's phoning it in right now. And I still want to get to this. I want to get to this, some details on this attack. And remember this. I'll tell you, when I come back from the right, you always know something is up. You always know something is up when they don't want to talk about the perpetrator. It took us a day. I mean, well, 8 hours to find out he was a refugee, to find out where he was from. To find out, and no one's mentioned anything about his religion or what mosque he attended or anything like that, but we all know that's coming up. So I want to talk about that a little bit. And also, we'll get to, as I promised you, I want to talk about the cell phone law because it's just being misreported everywhere. And I want to make sure you are armed with the facts come January 1st so you don't get a ticket. All right? Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, back after this, right after these messages. See you soon.
This is James Bergener, reminding you to drive safely this holiday season. If hurt, go to sweetjames.com.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Well, Sam Rzhovsky here. Today's the day of tragic news. This story caught my eye. On Saturday when it happened, I heard about the tree that fell in Whittier right on top of a wedding. And as it turns out, in today's news, we found out that it pretty much immediately killed the mother of the bride. So just a terribly sad story. This happened in Whittier. And it brought to mind, I was talking to James Bergener about it today. And, well, it brought to mind a case that that he had handled. And I remember the case well. I had done some work on it as well, and it was like this. It was a tree fall case. It's very tricky because One thing in these cases, because first of all, nothing good happens when any part of a tree falls onto a human. Okay, none of these cases. I mean, it's you usually have major injury or death. But the critical thing in this is that the people that own the tree, you know, they can kind of say more or less, hey, it's an act of God. I mean, it's a fluke. Branches fall, you know, trees fall. There are problems with trees. And in this case, it was Farmers Insurance, the one that we handled. And the case was, just so you know, I mean, that's what farmers said. They said, no, we're not going to pay. There's no way we're going to pay you, because it's just an act of God. And so we had to file a lawsuit, and we're going through all these motions. We hire an investigator, and we start to get to the guy that owns the tree. Well, it turns out that the tree is diseased inside and out. And I remember one of the things, you know, we were able, and the owner of the tree actually, you know, hid his tree trimming guy from us. We had to go find him. It was Perry Mason stuff. And so we find the guy, and we sit him down, we take his deposition, and he's like, yeah, I knew the tree was diseased. That branch should have come off, but, and this is the smoking gun, but the owner, right, the defendant in the case, he told me not to do it. And so we got corroboration on it. It was a big, long thing, and farmers still wouldn't pay. You know when I tell you insurance companies don't want to take care of you? Yeah, they wouldn't pay on it. So it went to a jury, and on a $1 million policy, the jury paid $3 million. Farmers should have settled. So here the tricky thing is on this case, And it says tragedy first, legal case second, obviously. But it is interesting. You know, you might be looking at this and thinking, you know, what do I do? You know, if something like this goes down, literally. And you've got to talk to a lawyer because, for example, if this is a city park, you know, you're dealing with a government entity, and with the government, there are special procedures. You got to file a claim quick. You got to get on it. Most times, it's 6 months. You can't wait. You can't delay. And if it's Farmers Insurance, those guys, they suck along with all the rest of them. So these are the kind of cases if you've, you know, any type of injury, any kind of anything like this, you want to go with a lawyer that you trust, that you know is competent, that has heart, and will pursue it to the very end, the way James did this case. So how do you reach Sweet James? It's easy. It's got a phone number. Imagine that. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or go to his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, we're back and talking about this attack that happened in Germany, in Berlin, the Christmas fair. You remember the attack in Nice? Remember when that went down? Well, these things don't happen accidentally and they don't happen spontaneously. They happen because there are people, there are adherents to this crazy, there are people that listen to ISIS. They listen to these radical clerics. And there's one of these clerics who was also an ISIS spokesman who ended up getting killed in Aleppo, thank goodness. But this guy, 2014, says this was his statement. And see if anything here catches your ear. If you can kill a disbelieving American or European, names a bunch of nationalities, or any other disbeliever, including the citizens, okay, and that have helped, da-da-da-da-da, smash his head with a rock, slaughter him with a knife, or run him over with your car. And that's what they've done. That's what they did in Nice, and they're doing here. And as we find out details, it's all gonna lead back to this. But it comes down to disbelieving American or European. It's cultural, it's religious, and we need to understand better where this stuff is coming from. All right, when we come back, I'm going to tell you about the cell phone law. I want you to be informed. Next segment, I promise I'll get to it. Sam Rajofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. When you're on. If you're going to get a sugar daddy, you don't get a poor sugar daddy. That's right. You don't say, oh, God, I'd like some guy who, you know, has a nice middle-income job and is perennially unemployed.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
talking about the new cell phone law, here we go. Let's get right into it. Sam Rojofsky here, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Okay, if you haven't heard, there's a new cell phone law. And, you know, I actually had no idea that this was coming in until I was listening to the radio one day, and I heard these public service announcements. You've probably heard them, too. I think they're running on this station, too. It's just, you know, hey, there's a new law, and be informed, and you can't, you know, park before you, you know, plug in your address or whatever. And, yeah, so, exactly. So, now, so, and so I thought, I got to look this up. I just kind of snuck up on me. And most things don't sneak up on me, but I think probably was got buried behind all the national stuff going on with the election. So then I Google new cell phone law, and I start looking up news stories, and I just was blown away by how uninformative they were. Because I always want to know exactly what I'm allowed to do and exactly what I'm not allowed to do. It was important, because I don't want to get a fine. I don't want to get a ticket. I don't want to have to call Sweet James. Help me get myself out of it. So anyway, the old cell phone law, here's the scoop. The old cell phone law as we knew it is gone. It got repealed. So it's over. That's done. And this new law basically replaces it in its entirety. And it says you can't use a cell phone, and it's actually any wireless communication device. I guess if you've got a walkie-talkie, you can't do that either. You can't use a cell phone while you're driving. The way I'm reading this means that if you are parked, you can use it. Okay. But I think there's enough gray area. I wouldn't use your cell phone when you're stopped at a light, even though we're all guilty of that, right? I mean, that we generally think you're stopped at a light, you're safe. You can't be doing anything on your cell phone. Remember, the old law was all about texting. It was just a texting law. You could initiate phone calls. You could go on your navigation. You can play with your music, you know. It was all that. So if a cop pulled you over under the old law, you could say, well, no, officer, I wasn't texting. I was getting my Lady Gaga on or whatever. Well, now it's anything you're doing on your phone. So a cop pulls up to you and you're driving and you're holding your phone, doing anything with it, you're toast. It's $20 for the first offense and $50 for all subsequent offenses. So, you know, that's something to consider. There is, however, a way to get around it, kind of. And that is, you've got to put one of those really ugly little suction cup, you know, mounts, or however you want to. You know, I guess you don't want to drill into your car, but you can get a mount for your cell phone. You know, like the Uber drivers have, where they put them up. And then if you can do anything you can basically do with a single touch of a finger or a swipe with the finger, you can get away with. And this is the way I read it, okay? So you know, you could press the home button for Siri, you know? Or you can swipe your turn your, you know, I don't know, turn some feature on your phone one way or the other. And so, you know, it has to be, I actually will tell you exactly here. It can't be mounted to your dashboard, of all things. The handheld wireless telephone or electronic wireless communication device, you know, your cell phone, right, has to be mounted on a vehicle's windshield. I'm reading directly from the assembly bill. So this is the black letter law of this. So, it has to basically be mounted on, you know, oh, I guess it can be on a dashboard or center console. All right, okay. So, but it has to be in a way where it's your eyes are not leaving the road. So it has to be high up. I'm going to tell you, you know what's going to happen with this new law? I think more accidents are going to happen. That's what I think. Because people before, you know, if you're the safe way to use, and there is no safe way of using a phone, but if you're going to use your phone, you want to put it up, you know, to your eye level. So your eyes are still on the road, and then use it with your thumb in one hand. But people are hiding their phones. This is what happened with the texting law. People are hiding it because they don't want to get caught. So people are going to put their phone where? That's right. Their phone is going to be basically shoved into their crotch. But I'm telling you right now, crotch phoning is not a good idea. Because now your eyes have left all the way down. So you're going to have one set of people, you're going to have the rule followers, who are going to get on the phone and who are going to do, you know, who are going to, you know, follow it, follow the phone, you know. But you're also, you know, you're, while driving, they're going to do everything right, but there's going to be people who are going to just hide it. It's going to cause even more accidents. So don't do that. Get yourself a mount, put it on the glass so the cop can see the mount, see that it's high up, and then, you know, with one finger, one touch, you can use your phone and do all that good stuff. My friend John Wolf, he's up next with the news. See you next time. When are we back on? Wednesday. All right. Take care. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio
7790 KABC.